makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story.
To start at 9:05.
I did, but normally when I join at 9:05, you guys are already on, so that's the only reason why. I was more than willing to adhere to the schedule. I was just, I had a different expectation. Like, you guys were fucking chatting it up by how much you love this fucking episode and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, look out, there's a box behind you.
Ah!
What's her name?
Oh boy.
No, it's an actual box.
Plankton and seaweed and seagulls from the ocean.
Protein.
Good. What are you eating right now?
An egg McMuffin. Forget an egg that. A movie muffin.
Did you buy like 100 of them at 63 cents this past week and you just have them in a freezer in your garage?
You know what? That doesn't sound like that sounds like a viable plan to me.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. It definitely seems in the Johnson wheelhouse.
No, I did not do that. I didn't even get one for 63 cents. I barely heard about that. It didn't hit me. Like, I saw one post about that.
What was the reasoning for that?
It's the anniversary, 50th anniversary of the Egg McMuffin.
And it was at 63 cents when it came out, or
it was 63 cents when it came out. And the guy who invented it.
This was Joe McMuffin.
Joe McMuffin. No, he was a franchisee, and he made the equipment and decided to open up the restaurant. And they asked him, like, okay, well, what financial benefit did you do for essentially creating fast food breakfast in the United States? And he's like, it's just the benefits of being a franchisee. Like, allegedly, he got no money from McDonald's for inventing it.
Well, it's not licensed. He doesn't get a cut of each breakfast sandwich.
Or even the concept of breakfast, which previously did not exist for drive-thru restaurants.
I read something that said there was a time when they were deciding what to add to the menu at McDonald's. And the two choices were a Filet-O-Fish sandwich or this other thing, which was a Hawaiian sandwich, which was the same bun, like a steamed bun, and a slice of pineapple with teriyaki sauce.
That sounds very potentially vegan, at least veggie, right?
Yeah. And the idea was whichever sold the most and whatever the trial period was would be the one that added to the menu. And, you know, all signs would point to that it was probably the Filet-O-Fish.
Gross.
I know. It doesn't sound super great.
Yeah. I just looked at him up. His name was Greg.
Greg McMuffin.
Greg McMuffin? Okay. Okay, I get it. It rhymes. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so glad so much happened to me this week.
Why don't you tell us about the interesting things and not the why the last man things?
I went to Disneyland for Life Day and it was awesome.
That's great.
You can see
any highlights
on my. The first thing was I was walking through Tomorrowland and I saw a dude, obviously dressed up for the occasion, because he was wearing like a rebel
eyeliner
sort of fatigues outfit, but also a red cape cloak thing. And this is like 8:30 in the morning. And out of his shopping bag, he pulled what appeared to be an official Life Day orb. And I was like, first of all, I said, Happy Life Day, which perked him up. And I said, where did you get that? And he said, they have all kinds of official Life Day merch.
Oh my gosh.
At Galaxy's Edge. So that's weird.
That is spectacular.
The whole concept of there was this cash grab holiday special, which has been an embarrassment for a very long time. But then it developed its life as people either just like Star Wars anyway, or don't care if something's shitty because that's how we are now. Like, we can enjoy something for its shittiness.
It was the easiest way to, like, celebrate a Star Wars holiday without being dumb May the 4th.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
And it's but the other thing, I kind of want to go back. I don't think it was really a cash grab. I think it was paranoia. Because the thought was, oh, shit, we're going to be investing all this money in a sequel. We don't want people to forget about Star Wars, because at that time that was a possibility. So,
yeah, that's true.
Which is kind of silly to think about now that it's this thing that will never die. So that's really what it was. Like, how do we get Star Wars back, keep Star Wars in front of the people? It's been in the movie theaters for over a year. We've sold all our toys. Like, what can we do? Because 1980 is a long way away, and this is a lot of money that George is putting out of his pocket for this independent film.
Did you know the night before the holiday special aired, the host of Saturday Night Live was Carrie Fisher?
I think I did know that.
I think we can
or for entertainment purposes. No, I didn't know that.
A little life date. Was that a pin?
Yeah, it's a pin.
That's nice.
Life day pin. And I got a patch.
Oh, so that's cool.
Lovely too. Life day patch. Kind of copper, aged copper in color. That's beautiful. Yeah. But I mean, it's so bizarre. It's like even, it's not even like action figures of Chewbacca's family, which were prototyped and stuff like that. It's the fucking orb that shows up in the last 3 minutes of the special.
Right.
It's so weird. It's so weird that they're doing it. It's cool and weird.
Yeah, I would not have been able to tell you, you know, 20 years ago, I would not have ever predicted that there would be merch
at a Disney park.
Any of us even seen it 20 years ago?
Yes, definitely by then, yeah, for sure.
I think so.
But not 30 years ago.
That's still like pre-YouTube. How did you guys see it?
Bootlegs. I mean, legitimately acquired.
It's still not officially released, so you can do whatever you want. I just posted a video.
Did you go to like Comic-Con or something?
I posted two videos this week that did not get flagged. One of them has the entire holiday special. The only thing that got flagged was the cartoon that's on Disney Plus.
That's the loyal Wookiee.
Interesting.
So I cut it out and put it back up, and it's good. So it's like not even like bootleg is literally the only way to see it.
Faithful Wookiee. You know, that's coming out as a little golden book, The Story of the Faithful Wookiee. I have the release date for that on my calendar, so I can be sure to buy it.
But it's a little golden book inside of a larger, shittier book that you don't want to read.
I can't remember the first time I saw it, but it was so prior to the internet that it was one of those things where it's like, hey man, check it out. I got a tape of the holiday special. Oh yeah.
It's like, you don't know what it's called, asshole. Like, yeah. To your friend trying to push it on you.
And it's just, I don't remember the specifics, but it was much like how I saw Ryan had a tape of Captain EO.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, you go to your friend's house and they've got a tape of something.
That was, but they showed that on, I taped that off of TV. They taped that, but I had, this actually plays into next week. I remember I had a bootleg of Let It Be.
There you go.
That I pulled out. But that was the thing. I was going to places that sold bootlegs and I would ask for Star Wars Holiday Special because it seemed pretty ubiquitous and I could never track could never it down find it. Until it was on online. So you had a friend who pushed it on you.
Yeah, I definitely saw it at conventions too. It was perennially something that when you would find that booth where they had the bootleg tapes, I would look for it. Not that I was ever going to buy it. I was just interested. The concept of this special has always been very interesting to me because it's like I didn't see it at the time. I didn't become aware of it until like college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was not aware that it was a thing. And so all of a sudden, you know, to find out that this whole thing happened – so long ago and has been a thing ever since was fascinating. And also I think that I read once that there's only so many copies, you know, so there are only so many original tapes, you know, only so many people taped it. That's just natural. So a lot of the copies that people have all derive from one tape. If you think about it, it's all, they're all copies of one.
Like two, there's like sort of like two versions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's Fighting the Frizzies one.
Which I've never seen. I've never seen that one.
I've seen that one. And then there's another one. I don't know what they're called. But the one I'm most familiar with has the robot, the Tobor commercial.
Well, that's mm-hmm. robot spelled backwards. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Mm.
I'm
stunned.
But what's funny is, so like 2 years ago, Galaxy's Edge opened, and some friends of mine were like, we should do a meetup. They have a Star Wars podcast, and they're like, we should do a meetup sometime and go check out Star Wars Land. And it was like, oh, well, Life Day's on a Saturday. Seems like the perfect time to go. And so we went. And we just went to go check out the park and do the stuff and hang out. And then came across a meetup in Galaxy's Edge.
So other people had the same idea.
Yeah. And it was like a big, like people had like their orbs. They'd like made the orbs. They would take the bottles, the Coke bottles, the uh-huh. round ones, the thermal detonators.
Thermal detonators.
Throw some stuff in there.
Glow stick or whatever.
Yeah. And so everyone was civilized there off in an area where there wasn't any people. It looks like it's mostly like a backstage access, a giant door. So it was out of the way. And Disney caught wind of it, send out like one security guy and a couple of people, like crowd control people, just to kind of monitor it. It was like a manager standing there watching people as they sang like Christmas Carol parodies.
They're okay. Like
standard Christmas carols, but with Star Wars lyrics. And so they just sung, and when the sun went down, they did a procession and took a big picture, like in front of the Millennium Falcon.
And that was all just people. That's just grassroots.
It was just people. And like, I noticed managers starting to pile in and saying, what's going on? Oh, I guess it's a holiday, a Star Wars holiday. And I'm sure word kind of got out, because this year it felt like they were waiting for people to show up, and they were selling the merch, and people were buying up the merch. It was kind of crazy. Like, I don't know if it's just internet sellers or what.
Right. There's always that angle, but still.
But people were digging it. So it's kind of
cool. For there to be the market, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have these Life Day things. It's standard stuff like mugs and shirts. With like a drawing of Chewbacca with the orb in the red thing and the red cloak and stuff. But it's all, basic mug shirts.
Probably things patches, that they could, pins. You know, speed to market, especially with production delays and everything like that. What's the quickest, fastest thing that we could do to get out there? Mm-hmm.
You could get a mug or a shirt made at Walgreens, you know?
This is true. They went to Color Me Mine, I think, and there was just one guy and his 5-year-old kid just cranking out Chewbacca mugs.
Weirdly enough, it was Greg McMuffin.
It's so bizarre. Well,
he never made his fortune off the licensing, so he's got to do something.
But
right.
But it was fun. It was fun and cool. And I feel like the more, if this merch does well, maybe they'll have even more next time. They didn't have the ornaments. They have the globe as an ornament, which they didn't have yet because of supply issues. But they said those are coming in a couple weeks, along with the mini plush Chewbacca in the robe holding the orb.
Oh, I saw somebody with that. Maybe that was Walt Disney World. Somebody was
Walt Disney World got them. Batu West said they're getting them in a couple weeks. And I think you could also order those online. But it's really crazy to see.
It's super crazy that there's something so niche and under-supported in the Star Wars universe. Like, you can find anything. They've like strip-mined that franchise as much as they could, but there's something else, and people are passionate about it for some damn reason.
Yeah. Well, what's great is the whole park essentially turns into Christmas themed. Like every area is Christmas themed, and you can't really do that with Star Wars. So this is like the perfect excuse to sort of do that.
Decorate it, but not break the continuity or the reality of the place.
There was no decorations, but there was, it was just the two merch stands.
Mm. Oh, I thought they had strung lights. They didn't do that.
No.
I think that makes sense. It's just too immersive. You could celebrate Christmas in the jungle, so you could decorate Adventureland if you wanted, but it would take you out of the reality in Batuu and Galaxy's Edge.
They actually had, I don't know if you remember, they tried it 1 year. They still do it at Walt Disney World, the Jingle Cruise, which is the Christmas-themed Jungle Cruise, and it's apparently god-awful, which is why we didn't do it again. But because it's god-awful, it was embraced in Florida.
it fit into its environment.
Of shittiness, yes, it did.
But if you want to see any of that stuff, you can go to my other show and check it out. It's quite the thing.
I saw that. It was kind of shocking to me because it came up as a recommendation amongst everything else. It's like, how did this happen? How is this not? It's like, oh yeah, I subscribed to Ralph's shit. Of course it's going to pop up. But like amongst all the other shit that I look at, I was like, how did it know? It's spying on me. It's looking at my phone contacts. Yeah.
No, I subscribed to you. You asked for it.
Yeah.
I cut it pretty tight. It's like 10 minutes and it gives you kind of a,
it was exactly 10 minutes and I was impressed by that. My OCD was very impressed by how divisible by five that was.
I never made it on Rise of the Resistance. I never got a chance to do that.
Well, I have good news for you.
Okay.
Well, we had to go through the boarding pass process. We did not make it on the 7 o'clock one, made it on the 12 o'clock one. It's awesome. It was my fourth time on it. Stevie just read something today where starting today, Monday, the day this episode drops.
Yes, that's right. The 22nd, which is what today is.
They're going into a standby queue with a virtual queue if it gets too long, the line gets too long.
And that's a hologram of Desmond Llewellyn who instructs you.
It's virtual queue.
It's the virtual queue.
I always think everything's a trap, 007. That's why I'm a hologram. Well, that is good news, because I assume that eventually someday I'll go back to Disneyland.
Yeah.
This is like the longest hiatus since I was a kid. Like, you know, when I was a kid, we'd go maybe once a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Ultimately. It's kind
of a forced hiatus, though.
Yes. Well, yeah. But now it's at the point where I don't see myself. I don't know when I'm going to go again because I don't know about this, the getting a pass again.
Don't get a pass.
Yeah. None of them seem very viable to me.
Yeah.
No, don't get a pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm super burned out on it right now.
Right.
I'm not very pro the company at this moment, which is probably something I shouldn't publicly admit, but. Yeah, it's,
you know, I'm not cutting
it,
out.
It's add it in, like just keep on repeating it for five minutes.
James will handle that for you. He'll put it. He'll handle the repeat.
This is all for James, right? He's the only one confirmed to listen every week. Is that correct?
Happy birthday, James!
So.
Happy birthday, James! By the way, because it's Monday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday!
Yeah,
the 22nd.
Yeah, his 22nd birthday is a. He's just a little slip of a lad.
No, Mr. Noodle.
It was only a couple of years ago he was graduating from your Belinda, whatever, McCauley.
Oh, University.
From Esperanza. today's my sister-in-law's actual birthday. She's 40 years old today. And my nephew was born on Saturday after we, not long after we finished recording.
Yeah.
He was, we were all sitting around waiting for news, and I went to the grocery store. We needed like pie or whatever because we were doing a Thanksgiving that day. And then I got the text at the grocery store that he was like, oh, here he is. Baby's born, baby Luke. And got back in the car, and the song that popped on the radio contained the lyrics, newborn baby, just as a little bit of synchronicity. And that was my
words, the police
are delicious, which is unfortunate.
It's a song. about how delicious newborn babies are. One of many, if you know where to look.
It's K-pop, man. It's a big part of that aesthetic.
Is it now?
Baby Eden. You just don't know because it's in Korean.
The K stands for kids. It's like a lollipop.
I'm for some reason, them all being so anxious about baby eating just make me think of skeet surfing from Top Secret.
All right,
I just picture them all running down to the baby buffet.
What else can we do? Do you feel relief at this moment that this is the last time we're going to do this?
No, because this part is the part I like. When I felt relief, it was last night.
Well, yeah, maybe because I just got done.
Well, last night it ended, and Steve was like, "It's over for you." And I'm like, "I still got to talk about it."
Oh no!
I mean, the last 20 minutes have been great. That's what I look forward to, not the other remaining 30 to 40 minutes.
The fucking slog that is talking about Why the Last Man.
So, I don't have much to say about it. Again,
no.
Did I take notes? I think I took notes.
I took notes, but at the time I was thinking maybe I should just not, and we just don't just go with the flow. But
my notes are Why the Last Episode.
Well, we watched. This is the Darren Lars we used to watch Lost, but there's no Lost, so we watched Why the Last Man. Somewhere around episode two, Ralph decided he didn't. Got it.
Sorry. We're going to have to do the last 20 minutes over again.
I think my recording's good on this end for that.
Somewhere around episode one, actually, Ryan never liked it. Around episode two or three, Ralph was like, this show isn't any good. we've been watching it anyway, and now we're done. We just watched episode 10, Victoria. And this time we found out what the name meant.
Yay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Neil.
Did we ever find out?
No, to this day.
Hey, Ryan, while we're sitting here, do you want to tweet at Eliza, what's her name, and ask her who Neil is?
Who Neil is?
No, I don't want to do anything ever associated with the show again, ever.
So we find out that Victoria is actually Nora's birth name. And
yes,
sure.
She reveals that as I think she reveals that as a way of telling the Amazons, she's like them, you know, how they've taken their own names. Well, she's like, I did that already. I didn't need you guys to tell me to do that. I did that on my own. I've lived under my own name for a while now. Part of her taking control from Roxanne.
Right.
And I want to say, when she shot Roxanne, that was unexpected. That was an unexpected moment.
But you were wishing for it, right?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, not so much wishing for it, but I knew that there was going to be conflict between them. I just thought it was going to be drawn out longer than one episode.
But this is the season. This is a series finale. You need to have
right.
And also, I felt like this is something that should have happened three episodes ago too. So I feel like it was drawn out.
Well, it turns out that in the book, the leader of the Amazons is Victoria, and she wears an army style jacket, basically similar to the one that Nora was wearing in the last episode. So. It was a bit of a twist or a reveal, because here's this Nora character and who's this Roxanne character, and all of a sudden, oh, it's been Victoria all along. We just took a different route of introducing to her, because in the comics she just shows up full-fledged. It's here in the Amazons and Victoria's in charge.
All right.
She's Nora's, I guess, Nora and Roxanne are, I don't know, like what's the opposite of an amalgam?
Split.
You know, what's that?
Split.
Yeah, they're like
demalgam in the middle.
They're that's right.
No, my favorite part was
what?
Which was the credits?
You know what I thought was funny?
What?
What?
That lady comes out of the town and says, "You have no idea who I am." I'm like, "Yeah, no shit. None of us do."
You're right. I don't know who anyone is.
Edna Babish just getting shit done out there. Good for them. Good for them for protecting their town.
That was some fucking Universal Studios stunt show
I thought the same goddamn thing. I was waiting for the front of the building to fall down and over somebody who's sitting on the plunger of the dynamite. Like it, and I was, and I thought that, and then I checked myself. I was like, "What does this reveal about me? Am I being overly critical? And how else is a gunfight supposed to look?" But like all the like flailing after they got hit, it was like they were playing to an arena of tourists. It was. Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I feel validated. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly what my mind went to. Like, I don't know if we had the classic someone falling over a railing or a horse dragging someone.
The horse was dragging someone. And the
horse dragged somebody.
As she was being dragged away, is it Blazing Saddles?
Yes.
What's the joke? Because I was trying to look up what the joke was. What the guy says as he's being dragged away from
the horse. There goes this suit.
Yes, oh, that's what it was.
Yes.
The dragged me. Oh my god, I felt weird about wanting to bitch about that scene and how poorly done it was, and I felt like I was like, are these people like shooting an action film for the first or an action sequence for the first time?
I don't know. Go ahead.
But I just felt weird. I think Ryan might be in the same boat where it's like, based on who we know, the production is created by.
I have not factored that in at all. It just there were, and I'm sure if I analyze it, I could go back. But my first thought was just like Ben, like this feels like a Wild West stunt show at a theme park.
And
to the point where it's like, maybe this is like their synergy thing. Like if we set up a shitty stunt show, then that way we can market it in the theme park with minimal investment for the Why the Last Man epic stunt show spectacular or something. I don't know.
That's as predictable as Life Day merch sold at a Disneyland.
At a Disneyland.
The fact that they're the concept of a Why the Last Man stunt show. If you were just reading the comic for the first time, someone from the future tells you, "Oh man, I just got back from Universal," or wherever it would be. I guess
I would love to see them like pull a plant out of the audience. It's like a man. You, sir, come up on stage.
Boo! Everybody right. Boos and hisses. Right. And of course, you have the person is Roxanne, who gives like the big monologue up front. All the context for the show, all the exposition, and then just like 7 minutes of railing falls, and
right.
Explosions and horses and shit.
Dialogue landing on pillows.
Pillows.
I liked that Jennifer Brown's, this is my notice, that Jennifer Brown followed the Obi-Wan plan of hiding, where she's like, I know where I'll be safe. My own house.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of public record. And Sam came back. Too little, cool. Too late.
Oh my god, dude.
Because I like that character. I like that actor.
Yeah.
I was enjoying that. But so Sam, instead of sticking around playing chopsticks for that lady, he went to President Lane. Like, we couldn't get Hero to do it, but Sam did it.
But why? Who cares? I don't care.
Exactly. So what do we think of the big promise twist? Did it make up for all the terrible CBS drama level dialogue and ham-fisted character development? Did it justify all that as promised? The big twist?
Well, I think she just said things were going to come together in an unexpected way, which I guess was true.
It Hero was.
Just
yeah.
happened to show up where... Why was?
Yeah.
And Sam just happened to show up where President Lane was. The thing is, I had a problem with this whole Beth thing, and I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, where it's like, why just needs to bang this chick? Because he's still hung about Beth, but we as the audience already know that she's an a-hole, so why should we be invested in him caring about Beth? Now they're saying, oh, the kids think the mom's dead, the president's dead. Who cares? We know she's not.
Right. I guess
and out of nowhere, why is going to be all dramatic and serious?
the idea of we know something that the character doesn't know, I guess that's supposed to create tension in us. It's supposed to make us frustrated.
But we don't care about any of it.
Well, it is. I did like that the classic misdirection there, the president's dead, which is, of course, what you would refer to someone who became president in a coup for about an hour. You would refer to Regina Oliver as the president. So that's
how did they know, but why and Hero don't know?
Exactly. It doesn't, you know,
common but knowledge to this random person on a horse.
Right. Here's the thing: we start with the flashback of the family dinner, the Brown family dinner.
And episode two. That should have been.
Yeah, definitely.
Here we're at the end of the season one. Let's learn about our characters a little bit here.
Let's find out why Hero is the way she is. And I think that what's going on here with Hero is, well, here at that point, whatever that was, she was drunk. She was drinking, and potentially it was could have been the night she smashed the car into the museum or whatever the hell she did. I think what happens sometimes in families or old friend groups is people get defined at one point. Like, you have your definition of this person, and then you don't really reassess it. So I think through her actions, Hero was defined as selfish, reckless, and irresponsible. And there was no way for her to get out of being felt that way in her family. Such to the point that she meets up with Yorick. She shoots one of her own people to let Yorick escape.
Well,
and he says she's brainwashed.
Damn.
That's just not there. He's making that up. If she were brainwashed, she would have shot him or captured him.
I think you're giving the show way too much credit. it was like the most eventful dinner ever, where everybody had their bold statements that defined their characters and who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the end and ham-fisted. And yeah, it's just, no, I don't think it's any sort of family dynamic thing. I think it's shitty dialogue and terrible story structure.
At the very least, I know Yorick was wrong of Yorick to say that Hero was brainwashed based on his observation of her.
But she's also part of a group of people who are shooting up the town. Like,
right.
Why? That's enough to, I think, to justify that.
Yeah.
When, I don't know. I don't care about any of this stuff to like even die on any hill. I just want to forget this experience.
I want to talk about the Amazons. They took over that YMCA or whatever it was with the pool.
Yeah.
And two the ladies.
Precious pool.
A pool that was probably heated by electricity, I would guess. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that fun.
And or filtered, lights. At least. There was no algae or mildew. And so there's
lights
to,
in there, right? The lights were on?
I couldn't. Later on, they had glow sticks because they loved their glow sticks. They love the Amazons love glow sticks and nudity. That's how they relax. But so these two women come up and they're like, this is our spot. Really? Honestly, you walked into this place with those like 50 Amazons hanging around, and the two of you with your rifles, you walked all the way up to the pool and you thought, okay, now's our spot. We're going to get this back. That's very silly to me.
Why not share? Oh, we didn't know this was yours. Hop on in.
Right.
We're all ladies.
We all have guns and we hate each other for some reason.
Yeah.
Like Missy Pyle gets all aggro and it's like, I thought you just hated men.
Right. But she's just protective of her people.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is one of my notes is that when I saw Amber Tamblyn, I was sad we had to see her story.
Was so point like it was a box to check. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, we have to check in with all of our characters.
We have to check in with her real quick. And that's just it's sad because no more story to tell there. You know, that was right. It. She starts lactating, right?
Yeah. In her dream.
In her dream.
Or did it happen in real life?
No, too? I think like, that was a dream.
Dream was the dream, but I didn't know if it had any sort of physical manifestation in the real world.
So here's my thought, okay? She defined herself as a mother. That was her role.
Yeah.
It was and that's not something internal necessarily, because it requires that you have children to be the mother of.
Mm-hmm.
And so in her dream, she's lactates. That's an obvious nod to motherhood. And then she's having sex with Y because she knows he's alive, and she knows he's the only way in her mind to have kids again and therefore be herself again, be a mother.
Yeah.
And it's like, great. Well, that's really good storytelling. I thought that dream was good storytelling, but that's it. You know, due to the nature of what happened, there's no more for her to do. So, sort of a waste. I did say, there's one part where someone was like, I can't even remember what it was, but it was, you know, don't look now because someone's pointing the gun at you, and the woman looks straight at it. And I don't know if you guys watch Parks and Rec. But there's a part where Leslie Stetson mentions something about Ron's bacon, and he says, impossible, you don't know where my bacon is. And he does this ridiculous take up where he goes and looks at the ceiling for a full 5 seconds. So obvious. That's what.
I have no notes. I have no notes. I don't know what to say about it.
Why was with that woman again? And at this point, it's my fault for not knowing her name, I think.
No.
Okay. It started again, and I was like, ah, oh, shit, who is that? What's her name? They made love, and Y has James Bond birth control.
Yeah.
Because she ended up dead.
She got shot in the face, like, pretty accurate. And I was like, oh, wow, they got a sniper out there. Nope, a girl riding a horse with a pistol super far away.
Headshot at her.
Yeah, like, had to have been an accident.
Probably. I will say, this is a 60-issue comic. These are 10 episodes. I'm not saying that, you know, we liked the show or we had to like it. But if they were going to make the whole book, this is a good stopping point for season one. You know, it just didn't work out that way for them. But it sort of made sense that this is what they chose to do, because they just barely teased 355's superior. You know, and we just barely got Nora in place. We have Kimberly's motivation. Yorick knows that Hero's alive. They think their mom's dead. There's a lot of threads that they could use going forward.
Yeah.
Just didn't, you know.
But they weren't thinking of a TV show.
Right.
You got to do the short game. Short game and the long game.
Yep.
Yeah, it's gonna tough. That stuff, but you have to be good in the meantime. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that was Why the Last Man. Thank you all very much.
Wow.
I just have one more thing. I have one more thing. That's
go for it, Ben.
It's pretty funny. Why and Sonya are saying their goodbyes, and Sonya says, "I'll miss you," and Why says, "I'll miss you guys too."
The collective.
Right. Right. That's a burn. So that's it. I have nothing more to say about Why the Last Man.
Right. Do you think it'll win an Emmy for anything? Is there anything that this would win an Emmy for?
I mentioned some of the production design was good.
Yeah, but you also said you couldn't see anything because it was too dark.
It was too dark. I know that part of that is that my house is 80% windows, and it makes it very hard to see. But that's cinematography, right? Like, that's not production design.
Yeah, but
Amber Tamblyn, maybe.
Unfortunately, it's not unique.
They only submit like one episode, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to see if this were to win an Emmy, if it would find new life somewhere else.
But campaigning is about money, right? It's essentially advertising. And why the hell would
they wouldn't submit it.
They didn't even advertise the show before it came out.
Exactly. Right. And the only reason why shows like Arrested Development won Emmys after they were canceled is because they were good shows that were well regarded and had a strong fan base and also good shit behind it. Like, none of that's going on with this.
None of that's going on here.
Yeah.
Like you said, maybe they'll finish it up in a comic book.
I don't. Yeah. It, did you see the last shot of the show where the road looked like the letter Y?
I did. It took me a while because I was staring right at it for about 30 to 45 seconds, and then I got it.
Got it.
We did a thing.
It's a thing that happened.
It's a thing we survived.
Ryan is just chomping at the bit to get started on next week. We'll be back in 1 week. Well, there's no breaks.
Next week, I'm excited for next week. I don't know if I'm excited because of the subject matter or that this is over. And at this moment, I'm more excited that this is over. That's and we fair. Never have to do this again.
I feel like it's the, but it's also like a bonus. Like it's like, if you have the shittiest meal, but you know, you're going to have like the best dessert. It's like, fuck, I'm just going to get through it. And then like,
now the dessert it's time for the best dessert.
That's actually, that's like my life as a kid. You know, you have to eat your vegetables if you're going to get your dessert. I'm familiar with that process. Yeah. You have to choke it down with some water, then you know, you can have a scoop of ice cream or whatever. Do we know if it's all dropping at once, or
we do know?
3 consecutive days. I would like to revisit the fact that water is something that you have to power it through.
No, I use the water to choke down the vegetables.
Oh, I got it.
Like a pill.
Like, I guess I'll drink this water so I can get my desserts. Like, water anyway.
I hate water.
Your dessert is a Necco wafer.
You're going to need the water.
You're going to need the water. I even though I expected the Get Back to be good by the trailers and everything, the early reviews that are coming in are very enthusiastic from a bunch of people that I respect. So I'm looking forward to it. And I have much sympathy for everybody who has to listen to me with no filter go on for an hour about the Beatles.
Good.
So what I'm to understand is it's 3 episodes. One comes out Wednesday, one comes out Friday, one comes out Sunday.
Yes.
On Monday, we will be covering the first one.
Yes.
Yes.
And then the following Monday.
Two. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say it's tough to watch a 2-hour thing. That's not tough. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it.
But there, I mean, some people were saying, again, I don't know how raw it is or whatever, but some people were saying like it is at times a tough watch, not because of it's a slog, but just because of the subject matter.
So, right. It's not,
it's Ringo. Ringo. It's 5.5 hours of Ringo and then a solid half hour of them on the rooftop. And then that's it. I'm looking forward to it.
It comes out on Wednesday, so you can watch it in parts. Right. We'll be doing this. We'll be here on Monday. We'll do 3 Mondays. It should be easier than Y, though. I'd much rather watch 2 hours of Beatles than 1 hour of Y.
Let it be is not good. I would rather watch Let It Be for 10 hours than watch Y the Last Man. Just over and over again on a loop 5 times. So this is good. This is going to be a good thing. Well,
a short episode today, huh?
Yeah.
Part of it is because we can't speculate. There's no speculating to do because we know there's no next episode.
I'm speculating about what I'm going to do with all my free time that I don't have to watch Why the Last Man. Maybe I'll read a book. Make an omelet.
Oh, I actually read a book last week. Did you guys see the movie The Martian with Matt Damon?
I'm aware of its existence.
It's the movie is, I think, really good, in my opinion. And I also really enjoyed the book. And that author has written 2 more books. And I just read his most recent one. What's up?
The Venetian.
The Venetian. And it's supposed to, apparently they've already started talking about making a film adaptation of it. So starring Mr. Ryan Gosling. We'll see if that comes to pass. You never know.
Now, is it part of the Martian Cinematic Universe, or are they distinctly different?
These movies...
The MCU?
Yes, exactly.
These books, all 3 that he's written, I think they could be related. I think that there's a reference to the first one and the second one, if I'm remembering correctly. But it's separate and unique. There's no
They're all about world pooping building. Tomatoes or potatoes.
Right. Yeah. Potatoes,
lots
yeah.
of farming.
So, I don't know why I decided to bring that up. I guess
I was wanting
to pay attention
just
to me.
Things out. No, it was fine. We don't have to. It doesn't have to be a long show.
Yeah, this I don't know. Sorry.
We're not going to network.
If James wants to hear more from us, he can just kind of FaceTime us.
Hey, he'll be here next week, I'm sure. James loves the Beatles. Go Aztecs. And go Aztecs. Happy birthday.
Pew, 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 pew.
If, I have a question. If.
Yes.
Why the Last Man gets picked up. And it's a completely different thing.
No.
And Edgar Wright says, man, this sure is great.
No.
It's just as good as the Beatles.
It's just as good as the Beatles. This TV show is as good as the Beatles.
But Why the Last Man is now Ringo. Are the Last Man. He is now the last. And he's going around spreading peace to all the women with guns.
Are the Last Beatle.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because
that might happen.
It's a toss-up.
It's a toss-up. Ringo is older, and Ringo also was an alcoholic for decades. So I think Paul will be the last man.
He'll win the Beatle Tontine.
Would that be ironic?
Paul is a live man.
That's the perfect twist ending.
Yes. He was live all along, or he was the first one dead, depending on your point of view. And then he'll be able to rewrite and rejigger history unabated by any of the remaining Beatles.
To his heart's content.
Yes.
He could claim he wrote Day in the Life.
He tried to do that. Do you remember that? Like about 10 years ago?
No.
Not Day in Life specifically, but just like, dude, let it go.
Oh, you wrote that one too? Let it go. That's my favorite song from Frozen.
Let it go. Check out this Frozen chick. Let it go.
All right.
Let's workshop that one.
Let's peter the shit out of this episode.
Oh, we are so peeping. That started about 15 minutes ago. So now we're going to end with our sign-offs.
Oh.
Yes. Now.
M-I-C.
See you in hell.
See you later, trash cans. K-E-Y. Why? Because you were the last episode.
Last man.
M-O-U-S. See you later, trash cans.
Bon voyage, why?
We hardly knew
Recording
you.
Recording stopped.
Don't let the door hit you where your wife split you.
That road shot was so fucking stupid.
And the tractor spelled out crazy.
It's like 100%. 100% that's what it was. But like totally on brand for how shitty and like, don't you get the subtlety? There's no subtlety. There's nothing.
And it was.
There's crappy dialogue and characters who could have been good and great performances wasted. Fuck this show. Could have been good. It was not.
Well, and now it's gone.
I already said see you later, trash cans. We don't have to talk about it ever again.
That's right.
Just edit it at the end. Just copy that and put it back at the end.
No, I'm not editing that.
The first thing he edits is going to be that. No. We're done.
Bye.
Our show is basically live.
Yeah, bye.
Basically.
Live today. Bye.
What?
Bye.
Oh, you're leaving?
See ya. Bye.
I actually do need to go. I got to take my child to the dentist, which will be
so Saturday 9:05?
Saturday 9:05.
Oh.
Actually, no, let's do Saturday at 9:10 because it's the one after 9:09.
Oh, delightful. Beatles wordplay.
I can just post it at 9:09 if you want. Or whatever.
All right, whatever.
Whatever. All right.
Lost Olivia.
See you next week, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
you later, Trash Can.